from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet, Jared and the GM, with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And it is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're online at thegamenashville.com. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Okay, Floyd, here's the question that the GM must face. And this GM is not you, the great GM, but GM David Boyle, who might win GM of the Year.
Tonight.
Here's the big question. Forget about the expansion draft and just think offseason. Think free agents, trades, etc. Is this the offseason that the Nashville Predators go for it? Do they go for it this year? The last couple of years, they've made moves that are big moves. They've traded for Johansson. They made the trade last year for PK Subban. But they didn't totally go for it. They didn't spend all the way to the cap. They didn't trade a bunch of future assets. At the deadline, all they did was add PA Parenteau. They didn't do anything wild and crazy, and they still got to the Stanley Cup final. But we know how old Pekka is. We know that if Mike Fisher comes back, this would be his last year. You got a lot of guys in their prime. Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Subban, Yossi, Ellis. Is it time this offseason for the Nashville Predators to go for it? And it was interesting because yesterday you asked former Preds goaltender Chris Mason, current analyst, that exact question, and here's what he said.
You know, you always want to try to cover yourself at both ends, but I personally think that, you know, the last 5-6 years, they've been a team, maybe for more than that, that's kind of been on the brink of breaking through to being one of those teams. And I don't know if they've completely went all in without, you know, sacrificing a lot of the assets in the future to do it, which has been very smart by the organization. But I think if you want to go for that and you want to be one of those teams every year that has a chance, you have to give up prospects. You have to give up good young players.
So what do you make now of the situation the Preds are in and going for it?
Well, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, and this was kind of my take. Having been through this the year after we went to the Super Bowl, we had to decide, you know, which way we were going to go with it. And I'm not saying David is in that position at all. I just wonder if he is. And I think, you know, that right now this team is a great blend of, you know, veterans where you need them, guys that are classy guys, big-time players, all and youth. And so you look at it and you think, geez, if we could go ahead and really break through, you know, win a Stanley Cup, you might be in a position where you would have a chance to do that a time or two, which is similar to what we were thinking. And I think that's the question I shouldn't say that. I don't know that he is or he isn't, but I'm sure it's a question that somebody is thinking about. You know, is this the time, for example, we've got a late round draft choice. Instead of using this draft choice on a kid that we're not going to see for 3 years or however long that it takes him to get to this point, let's take that draft choice and trade it for a player. Trade it for, you know, whatever it is we think we need. We don't need it right now. We don't need a goalie. We don't need anybody on defense. So it's limited the number of areas that you really need to go for. And I think I wonder if it's a great opportunity for you to say, okay, this is it. We're going for it. We're going to take a shot and see if we can't get breakthrough and win the whole deal.
Well, see, here's the thing and I can't even believe I'm saying this because this doesn't sound like something I'd say. I kind of think David Poyle should approach this offseason the same way that he's approached the last couple. Hey, I know I've got a playoff team. I know I've got a team I think can compete. I need to make the moves that are out there, but I don't need to make the crazy moves that'll get me in trouble. And I know that sounds crazy, but if there's – take a big-name free agent who's out there. Every Predators fan, we hear all the time, TJ Oshie. Hey, TJ Oshie's going to be out there. Do you think the Predators should make TJ – should go after TJ Oshie? And my answer is no, because I think he's going to be overpaid – and he's not going to produce at the level that you're going to want him to produce. And then all of a sudden, you're going to have a 4-year contract on your hands at 5.5 per that you can't get off the books. And the way that you've ended up in this situation is by not signing contracts like that and not getting stuck with contracts you can't afford. So this is going to sound crazy, even though I think they look at themselves and say, you know, a tweak here, a tweak there, and perhaps if Johansson's healthy, my team wins the Stanley Cup final. I still don't think David should go crazy. I think David should just approach the offseason the way he's approached the offseason in the past. And when there's a move to be made, like Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones or PK Subban for Shea Weber, make it. But I wouldn't do anything out of the ordinary. They did that a couple years ago, kind of, when they traded a first-round pick and some other things for Cody Franson and Matt Santorelli, and that just was awful. They traded a first-round pick for Paul Gostad. Awful. Now, they traded a first-round pick the year before that for Mike Fisher, and that worked out. But I would just say I don't. You know, as much as I want to have a splashy, sexy offseason because it gives us more to talk about on the radio and it kind of pumps the fans up of, oh, the Preds are going for it. They think they're going back to the Cup. And as much fun as that is, I just, when you quote-unquote go for it sometimes, Floyd, it feels like you end up doing things that are stupid and it ends up putting yourself in a hole. Like the Redskins go for it every 5 years. They sign all the free agents out there and they never win a game. And that's what I don't want the Predators to do is Redskin football.
Right. And I think, and that's, I mean, there's logic to that. You know, I think the question is, are you in a position, I mean, we know the way the NHL works. We know the way the playoffs work. We only have to look as far as Chicago, who wins a Stanley Cup 1 year, gets knocked out in the first round the next, to see how unstable all of that is. And, you know, the question becomes, let's say for the next 3 years, we're knocked out in the first round or second round. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Especially if you go for it.
I'm saying if you don't go for it.
Oh, and you don't go for it and you get
knocked out in the first or second round, are we going to be satisfied with that? I mean, I don't know. And you know, it took us 20 years to get to this point. And here we are. And I think, you know, you say to yourself, geez, I wonder. And the only reason I even brought this subject up was because I had gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we at that point in time said, hey, we're going to try to win a bunch. I mean, we had a young quarterback, young running back, young. I mean, the same, just like this, just like the hockey team. You know, we had age, Bruce Matthews and those kind of guys where we needed it. We had youth where we needed it. We had talent where we needed it. And we thought we were ready. Now
just had a great team.
The NHL, as we all know, is less stable than the NFL from the standpoint that, you know, a lot of times if you're a really good NFL team, you're probably gonna, you know, matriculate up the ladder and get to a point where you're in the playoffs. In hockey, I mean, I'm not sure that's all the same. Now, Pittsburgh won it, you know, this year for the second time. But, I mean, I think you can look at the Chicagos and the Anaheims and some of those teams that I'm sure they're sitting there saying, hey, we're pretty good. And yet, you know, here we are out in the first round, swept in the first round. I mean, that'd be tough.
Now, here's the question for the callers. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. Do they need to go for it this offseason? Are you willing to risk first-round picks, top prospects, etc., for this team to make a Stanley Cup final run this year? And let's just say, what if the Predators start trading away a bunch of prospects, get a bunch of stars, win the Stanley Cup this year, and then 3-4 years down the road run into a problem because their farm system is depleted or they don't have first-round picks, etc.?
Right.
Are you okay with that if they win the Cup? 615-737-1025 is the number. And now we go to the calls because, Floyd, your favorite caller has called in. Tyron in Brentwood.
Tyron
is up next. Tyron, you go ahead.
Yeah, I think they absolutely should go for it. You know, I don't think they need to do nothing risky or reckless or crazy, but I do think they need to go for it. I mean, right now, to me, the only team they're chasing is Pittsburgh. I'll go ahead and put it out there. same time next year, Pittsburgh Penguins and the Predators will be in the Stanley Cup Finals again. I think you're the best team in the West entering the season. I think you're the overwhelming favorite to get back to the Stanley Cup. I think the balance of power has shifted in the West to Smashville. I look up today, I see Hossa will miss the entire season for the Blackhawks next year. I think there's some dissension going on in that locker room. I think they're going to take a step back, and then your normal foes, Anaheim, St. Louis, you know, I think Edmonton's going to come up, but I think Nashville just need to gear up for Pittsburgh and gear up for trying to find a way to get over that hump, because one thing the world says, I don't agree with your theory on this, Jared, about if they have a healthy Johansson. Let me tell you something, Pittsburgh was without their best defenseman in Letang, so that's a watch to me. So they do need to gear up and get better for Pittsburgh. But other than that, they'll be back in the Stanley Cup next year if there are no injuries and all things being equal. And they just need to get ready to get over that hump to beat the Penguins. That's the only thing they're chasing. They're not chasing nobody else but them. So go for it, but don't do nothing reckless or stupid or mismanage assets or any of that, because you've got a good thing and you got a good system and you're running well from top to bottom. But you do need to go over another gear to get to Pittsburgh.
Tyron and Brentwood, of course, always bringing it back to Pittsburgh. We appreciate it, Tyron. I will say this. I don't think it's as simple as Tyron makes it out to be in the Western Conference. I mean, I wish Tyron was right, and he might be. But by my list right now, I put down Chicago, Edmonton, Anaheim, Winnipeg, San Jose, and St. Louis. Those are teams that I think are – and it's like we brought up Chicago earlier. The gap between these teams in the playoffs I don't think is very large. You know, like that when you look back on some of these playoff series, outside of St. Louis, I felt like a lot of things were toss-ups with the Predators that at times went their ways where they outplayed somebody. And I would even say the Stanley Cup Final was a toss-up that just certain things went Pittsburgh's way.
Well, this boils down to what we were talking about before and going through the Titans schedule. You know, if we would have played, and this becomes a question to me, if we were to play Chicago in the third round, would we have swept them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would say if you play them again, would you sweep them?
Yeah, I mean, and I look at that, and I look at the Chicago series, and I'm really, really proud. I mean, that was a tremendous win for the franchise.
And you called it.
History and the few, yeah, and I called it. but I thought that was, you know, as good a win as we've had for a while and something to really be proud of. And then you say, okay, we've never done that before. Was that a change? Will it happen after? Are we going to go ahead and go through a series of, you know, we're going to beat Chicago on a regular basis? I don't know if I can say that. I mean, I'm not going to say we won't, because obviously we did, but I don't know.
So the question is, do the Preds need to go for it in the offseason? And we'll get right to your calls at 615-737-1025 in just a second. But that's all next. You're listening to Jared of the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on ESPN 1025 The Game.
If you want to go for that and you want to be one of those teams every year that has a chance, you have to give up, you know, prospects. You have to give up good young players. And they've done it before and they've tried to do it. But I think in this situation, if you feel like next season that you're one piece away or you're right there with the group that you have, I believe that you have to give up something to keep it together personally.
That was Chris Mason, Preds analyst, right here on Jared and the GM yesterday. Floyd, as a GM, before we get to the calls, and we will get right to them, and the big question is whether or not the Predators should go for it this offseason, really go for it, spend the money, make the trades, give up the prospects. As a GM, how do you outweigh the future versus the present? Like, how do you do that?
Well, I mean, there's two schools of thought here. One is, you know, we're going to be good every year. And, you know, when we were in Houston, we went 7 straight years of the playoffs, which at that point in time was the NFL record, and never got beyond the second round. You know, we were a really good regular season team. We were really, but, you know, John Elway in Denver was better than we were, and Kansas City and Joe Montana were better than we were, and they moved on, and we went home. Now, was that good? you know, to have the to be in the playoffs every year and to do, yeah, I mean, we thought it was pretty cool and we felt good about it. But you look back at it now and you think to yourself, you know, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback, you had a couple of Hall of Fame receivers, you got Hall of Fame offensive linemen, you've got, and, you know, you couldn't get past the second round of the playoffs. If we'd had just one more, whatever it was, you know, whatever you think you need, maybe that would have made the difference, and maybe you're walking around with a few rings. The thing about, and you, people have to understand this, in all pro sports, all pros, when you get to the point that you have the ring, you have the cup, you have, that's like a label that never, ever goes away. The rest of your life, it's, yeah, that's Jared Stillman. He was a Super Bowl winner in
Flacco.
I think it was whatever.
It'll never, Flacco will always have won that Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl winner. And if you don't ever get to that point, I mean, you can have a long, distinguished career, but it's never spoken or accepted in the same way.
Let's go to your phones. Todd is up next at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What's up, Todd?
Hey, good afternoon. My question here is we have, I understand the Predators, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals and had a great one, but in the end, they were the eighth seed. That technically means they were the eighth best team in the Western Conference, and yeah, things fell their way, but they did a lot of it on overachievement. How much do you want to live on possibly them overachieving next year?
Floyd?
So I'm not saying they need to sell their soul to the devil and give everything away for one or two chances, but I do think they probably need to do more in the off season than they normally would because of the fact that, like I say, you can't argue with the numbers, and the numbers said they were the eighth best team.
Floyd, what
and
do you think?
Do you
think?
Really
Todd,
want to live on that?
Todd, I appreciate your call. Floyd, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting from the standpoint that we just talked about earlier. You know, when you go back and you look at the record, And of course, we're talking more about the playoffs, and you have to say to yourself, okay, did we legitimately beat that team? You know, did we go out and play good hockey and win, or did we stumble into one or two and it made all the difference in the world? And that's kind of a question I think every team, every GM, every coach has to answer for themselves, simply because you can't make, you know, you can't say to yourself, all right, We made it to the finals. We're in great shape. We've got a young team. We're fine. We ought to be in the finals for the next, you know, 3 years if we don't do anything. Because that will be a sure way to, you know, be out in the first round, in my mind. And I'm not talking about going crazy. I'm not talking about being wasteful or silly or dumb or any of those things. I wonder, you know, if there is not a formula that would allow, and we're talking about the Preds because we're right here in Nashville and we love the Preds, but I think this is true with any team in any sport. You know, isn't there a way that you could get one more really good player that might be the guy to get you over the hump?
I just look at it, though. The Predators were 5 points out of third place in the Central Division, and they were bad in October. You know, October and December really hurt them, and I don't care too much about what happened in October. Literally, in my mind, was not a representation of who the Nashville Predators were. Now, could a bad October next year really hurt you? I could, but I don't look at the Predators as the eighth seed or the 16th best team that made it to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. The truth is, after going through this experience, the regular season, I mean, I'm already, you know, get me to the playoffs, baby. That's all I care about.
Just keep me back in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, you can have the regular season as long as we make it to the playoffs. And I think this is what's important. I think, you know, when I go back and look at the series, the series on the way, I mean, there was no doubt in my mind, now this is just me, that we were a better team than Anaheim. We were a better team than St. Louis. Can we say we were a better team than Chicago? That's the one, even though we beat them in the most convincing fashion, I'm not sure, simply because of their history. who they are, what they've done, you know, were we actually better?
Or did Pecorine steal that series?
Yeah. I mean, did he stand on his head for four games and you know, just we were outstanding on defense and that make all the difference in the world? And I don't know the answer to that. And you know, if that's the case and if we feel like we could do that again with Chicago, then maybe we're right on course. You know, maybe we're where we need to be.
Cole is up next on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling, and thank you for waiting patiently. What's up, Cole?
Yeah, I would say the one guy you might go for it with would be Matt Duchene, and that's solely because you're going to have to fill a center position. Colton Sissons is out on the line, and Mike Fisher might be retiring, so you're going to need some centers, and he would be a big guy to fill that slot.
He'd cost you a lot, though. I mean, and I know what you mean. I appreciate your call, Cole. When I say go for it, I don't mean trade one of your defensemen, because that's what I think it would take in order to get Duchene. But let's just say Colorado looks at themselves and they say, you know what? We had 48 points last year. We suck. And they do. And they say that about themselves, and they feel that way. And they say, you know what? Let's call the Predators. Two first-round picks plus Auberg and another prospect will get you Duchene. If you're Poile, it's hard not to make that move. If you're going for it, two first-round picks for Duchene, that might be okay. If you are committed to going for it. And that's that fine line where you have to say, okay, now, and maybe Sissons is, you know, the center that goes back to replace that spot for Duchene in Colorado's lineup. I don't know. But that it does raise an interesting question when we talk about going for it. Because trading is the way that you can guarantee getting a player. Because if a guy's in free agency, you don't know if you'll be able to get him just by how much money you can go. But a trade, you know you can get him.
And you know what the contract's going to be. You know how much it's going to cost you. So you can really evaluate. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that's the best way to do it. And it's just a matter of you know, what it's going to cost you. And if you're going after a guy that's going to win the Stanley Cup for you, help you and your team win the Stanley Cup, I mean, what's that worth? I don't know.
I would trade. If I could take right now, like if I was making a deal with the devil and I could settle out of court for a Stanley Cup next year, but to know that in 4 or 5 years, the Predators are going to have 3 or 4 years of real tough times, I'd take it. Because winning the cup once, I think, would be worth it. Because that's what this is all about, isn't it?
That's the only reason you're in business, to win the cup.
More of your calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, if you want to get in. Plus, later in the show, we have tons of Preds to get to today, but later in the show, the Showtime series had a couple things that the behind-the-scenes access thing had a couple things that really perked my mind up, and I want to play those at some point. 615, though, 737-1025 is our number. The Predators are hosting a fan appreciation draft party Friday at Bridgestone Arena from 4 to 10. Wear gold and bring friends to Smashville to take part in a Western Conference championship celebration while watching the Preds make the 30th overall selection of the 2017 NHL entry draft. You can write cards and record video thank you messages for Preds players and coaches, take part in a public skate, tour the Preds locker room, and more. For more details, go to thegamenashville.com. Under the events tab. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back to the show. Hey, don't forget to sign up for our Michelob Ultra Foursome Golf Contest. Michelob Ultra, Mapco, and The Game Nashville are giving one lucky winner and three friends a chance to experience the Ultra Foursome at four prestigious golf courses in Middle Tennessee, as well as passes to the Nashville Golf Open. To sign up, visit thegamenashville.com/Michelob Ultra Foursome today. So I'll get back to the calls in a second here on the Predators. But today I sat down and I finally watched the Showtime behind-the-scenes look at the Stanley Cup Final. It's a great series. It's kind of like Hard Knocks, but it's for the Stanley Cup Final for the NHL, behind-the-scenes, in the locker room, etc. And there were two things that really popped out to me of the final episode, which did involve the Predators losing the Stanley Cup Final. And the first one I kind of wonder about is whether or not we kind of saw from this Showtime thing if we have gotten a glimpse as to what Mike Fisher's going to do. Now, once again, after the game was over on, I should say, public TV, the not all access, just the regular access television, this was the NBC Sports Network with Paul Burmeister, Mike Fisher talking about his future. Here's what he said after the game.
And Mike, being this close to you, I can't help but notice the depth of emotions I'm sure you've been feeling the last 20 minutes. How much of that has to do with, at this stage of your career, some of the unknowns that are coming up for you?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you never know when you're going to get another chance or what the future is going to hold, but we'll see. Put a lot of thought and prayer into what's next, and we'll see see what the Lord wants. So
publicly, we have a we'll see and we'll pray on it. Now, this was inside the locker room after the game was over. We're going to play it twice. Well, we'll play it first, then I'll read the transcript, then we'll play it again because it's tough to hear. But this is Mike Fisher after the game was over on Showtime addressing the entire team.
Played a lot of years and I've never had so much fun or been more proud of being a part of it. He had everything we had. We learned a lot about playing and working and life and just being a really big family. And thanks for the memories and I love those too.
So in case you couldn't hear that, because the audio is tough to hear, it's easier when you're seeing it, when you're watching it. Here's what it said. Quote, played a lot of years, and I've never had so much fun or been more proud to be a part of it. Gave everything we had, and we learned a lot about playing and working and life and being a really big family. And thanks for the memories, and I love you guys too. Listen closely. Play that again.
Played a lot of years and I've never had so much fun or been more proud of being a part of it. Gave everything we had. We learned a lot about playing and working and life and just being a really big family. And thanks for the memories. And I love those too.
Mike Fisher in tears, quote, thanks for the memories and I love you guys too. That, to me, Floyd, sounds like a guy who's going to retire.
Well, I mean, you could be right. But, I wonder, that is such an emotional time. That is so very hard. He's just finished, a game that is literally the biggest game of his career. It didn't work out the way they wanted. It's all the emotion involved in getting that far and playing at that level for so very long. It is, you've got emotions that you didn't know you had. And I think, once that game's over and they say, okay, you're not going to get to play anymore. I think guys, generally speaking, get pretty emotional. I don't know if how many guys they interviewed, and I don't know if anybody else was that emotional or not, but I would have.
Well, he wasn't being interviewed. This was inside the locker room, Mike talking to the team. I mean, this was the all access behind the scenes. So this was not an interview.
Oh, so that, that I think you open up even more if you don't think anybody's watching.
Right. That's my point, though, is like, this is not this is what I'm trying to get at here with this is, we see what Mike says publicly, but this is kind of that all access behind the scenes. You're a fly on the wall. This is what happened in the locker room. And so in the locker room, talking to the guys, there's Mike saying, thanks for the memories, and I love you all too. And I'm hearing that, and that sounds like a guy, thanks for the memories? That sounds like someone who's not coming back. Thanks for the memories that I have, because I'm not making any more new memories. So I thought it was 50-50. I'm thinking it's probably 75-25 now that Mike goes. And you talk about how emotional it gets after you lose, and of course it's emotional in that setting, but how much more emotional is it if you know you just played your last game and you're the team captain and you're addressing the team for the last time? Then it's even more emotional. We've never heard Mike Fisher like that before.
Why would you, if in fact that was your last game and you knew it at that point in time, why wouldn't you just say so?
Just say, guys, this is it for me?
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm glad. I love you. The next day, come out and say, hey, I love you. I was proud to be here. All the right things, as I'm sure he would, and say, but my career's over.
That's a fair question. My thought would be that Mike doesn't want that to take away from whatever. If Mike had made up his mind, Mike doesn't A, want that to take away from the moment, and more importantly, maybe Mike is leaving himself a little room inside in case he does change his mind. But you bring up a really good question there about if you know for a fact 100% you're done. Like Matt Cullen said after the game, you know, for the Penguins when they won the Cup, Matt Cullen said, boy, there's probably not a better way to go out than this. And that's essentially Matt Cullen saying, I'm hanging it up.
Yeah.
So, but I just saw that, and, you know, then they show after it's over, Mike Fisher going around the room and hugging everybody. It seems like a guy, you know that feeling when you clean out your desk and you've got that box and you've cleaned everything out because you're moving on to your next job and you're just kind of hugging everybody in the office. Ian, I appreciate all the hard work, man. We made a great team. It was so good to be around for so long, and I'm going to miss you so much. Like that, that's what that felt like with Mike. So I'm wondering if Showtime kind of gave us an all-access look into Mike's mind or the way Mike's feeling or leaning. And after seeing that, I don't think Mike Fisher's coming back. Now, remember my official stance on this. Come back, Mike! They need you! Come back.
Well, did anybody else talk? Was it just Mike? Because he was
Peter. The only ones they played were Peter and Mike. So
Mike, because he was the captain.
Maybe, unless nobody else said anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Be interesting.
I was kind of wondering, like, if you're Showtime and Pekka says something, wouldn't you run that too?
I would imagine, and yet I'm just going to guess. I mean, the way it appears that hockey is with captains and the responsibility they have, I could see where he would just get up and maybe he's speaking for everybody in the locker room. You know, hey, I love you guys too. And, you know, everybody's saying, hey, we love you. And which I think, again, is not uncommon. And I don't know. I have no clue. I'm trying to look at both sides of it.
Well, in a football setting, I mean, how many guys would talk in the locker room after losing the Super Bowl? The coach talks, hey, guys, we went out there, we played hard, reason to hang
quiet.
Your head.
But a captain in football is different than a captain in hockey. I mean, a captain in hockey, it appears to me, is almost like a, I don't know. I don't know if he's part priest, part coach, part, I mean, he's got a lot of responsibility.
Once again, this is the quote from the Showtime special, which, by the way, do you know how the Showtime special, the one, the last one, how it starts off? It starts off with Fitz. Jason Fitz.
Our guy.
It starts off with a quote from Braden and Fitz, and it is Fitz. And I'm watching it this morning, and I'd already done my workout on the battle ropes, and I had already done yoga afterwards to kind of stretch it all out. And so I'm sitting in my massage chair this morning watching that, and I hear Fitz. And I'm thinking, why is Fitz on there? Why not us? More specifically, why not me? Fitz! You know, so then I had to send Fitz a text. You got on there. I see how it is. Something like that. Once again, here's the quote from Mike. And we'll take your calls on this, too. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The quote on the Showtime special from Mike Fisher. Quote, played a lot of years. This is Mike addressing the team after the game behind the scenes inside the locker room. Quote, played a lot of years, and I've never had so much fun or been more proud to be a part of it. Gave everything we had, and we learned a lot about playing and working and life and being a really big family. And thanks for the memories, and I love you guys too. Do we think that means Mike Fisher's retiring? 615-737-1025. We'll get back to the calls next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
There's a lot of talk about Mike Fisher not coming back and retiring, and if that's the case, the younger guys, the Yossis, the Ellises, who have now been through this for a couple of years, what kind of leaders have they developed into if you do have to make another change with another captain going forward?
Let me go first. First of all, we haven't, just for the record, we haven't talked to Mike Fisher yet, and obviously I'd like to give him as much time as he needs to make a decision.
That was David Poile last week. Welcome back to the show, Jared the GM. So they're going to give Mike Fisher time, but I don't know, from that Showtime piece, it kind of made it feel like Mike's mind might be made up. Just listening to that and seeing the emotion on Mike's face, and so you wonder if he's already made up his mind or not. But with that, I promised we'll go right to the phones, and we will to Glenn, who's up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, I'm kind of in the mind of if he's sitting in front of, you know, at a podium, you know, announcing a retirement, then I would be at that point convinced. But being it's a long season, you know, it's exhausting and emotionally drained. I mean, it'd be easy to say, man, I just ain't going to do this no more. And then, you know, you get your head back and you're like, well, maybe I can do this. And maybe you get, you know, second thoughts, maybe a second win. Who knows?
Well, Floyd, didn't you make that point a lot oftentimes? And I appreciate your call, Glenn. Didn't you make that point a lot about guys wanting to retire after the season and then their mindset in the NFL changing after a couple of months or something? Or you bring this up from time to time.
What happens is, in my mind, is once the season is over, and Mike may be a great example of this. I mean, the trauma you go through during a season, physically, mentally, emotionally, the strain it puts on you and your family and everyone involved is, I mean, it's gigantic. And I think, you know, you fight your way through it for so long. I used to say, you know, you just get on the treadmill and you go till it stops. So you're on the treadmill every single day. And you are going 100 miles an hour and traveling and practice and games and all the things involved. And then all of a sudden at a point in time, it's, you know, somebody says to you, hey, that's it. We're not going to play anymore. We're done. No more practice, no more. And it is really traumatic. And I always used to tell guys, hey, don't make a decision now. Do not make a decision. Go home, go to Hawaii, you know, take the family and do whatever you want and just relax and, you know, give yourself a month or 6 weeks. Now your body's healing. You've had a chance to rest. You've had a chance to spend time with the family. And then I think you'll have a chance to really evaluate your career, where you are and where you want to go. And you know, you may determine that, in fact, I do want to retire. But I think more often than not, the more time they're away from it, the more they look forward to getting back into it. And so that's why I always wanted them to take some time. And I don't know if that'll be the case with Mike, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, what about the idea, too, for Mike about the expansion draft tonight? I mean, I'm not sure the expansion draft tonight has a major bearing on what happens to Mike Fisher going forward, but I could see if Colton Sissons leaves, you know, let's say Vegas takes Colton Sissons, although I think they're going to take Neal, but let's just say they take Colton Sissons, and now there's a third-line center spot open because we know Kelly Arne Croak's coming back, we know Ryan Johansson's coming back, and there's a third-line center spot open, and Mike, if you come back, this spot's yours. If Sissons doesn't go tonight, maybe Fisher's looking at the roster and saying, well, I'm definitely not going to be the first center because there's Johansson. I'm probably not going to be the second center because of Kelly Arne Croak. Sissons is playing really, really well. They used Colton Sissons on the first line over me in the Stanley Cup final. So, obviously, Sissons would probably be ahead of me on the depth chart. And there's Gaudreau and Vladislav Kamenev. I mean, you know, Mike Fisher doesn't want to have to fight for playing time, I would guess. Now, I'm sure they'd probably move somebody like Arne Croak or Sissons to the wing so that they could put, you know, Fisher out on the ice. But I do wonder if tonight's expansion draft could have an effect on Fisher. Or if Neal leaves and Fisher says, I've got to come back from a leadership standpoint for this team. So do you have any thought if tonight's expansion draft could affect Mike Fisher, or do you not think
it? I don't. I think I'd be surprised if it did. I think, you know, he's going between, you know, a third line center or a fourth line center, you know, is that either one earth shattering? I'm not sure it is. Now, if he was going between a starter, you know, a first liner and a third liner or something like that, then maybe it would be different. I'm not sure. I mean, I think the biggest trauma for him is if in fact they do select Ryan is, you know, here's a guy that you spent a lot of years with that, you know, you guys seem
who?
To be. Who does that?
If Las Vegas selects.
Yes.
Which one, Neal or Sissons?
No, Neal.
Okay, Neal.
What did I say?
Ryan.
Okay. If they select Neal, then I think The trauma will be that here's a guy you've spent a lot of time with and practiced with and played with. And it sounds like, just listening to people talk about their leadership skills, qualities, that they're similar guys. And so, they've probably become pretty good friends. And so, you know, he's going to lose a good friend, which I'm sure will, you know, he's not going to be happy about, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, going to play for another team doesn't even mean anymore. You have to move.
How do you think David and Peter look at the situation? And I don't mean, like, in terms of do they want Mike back or not. I think they want Mike back, but how much do you think David is fretting about this situation, and how badly do David and Peter want Mike to come back?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt but that they want Mike to come back. I think they're giving him time just to hopefully have the best chance of getting him back. Is he going to be the first line guy, second line? You know, he's not. So then you get to a point where you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, here's my captain. Here's the guy that's going to lead this locker room and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, he's maybe playing 10 minutes a night or something. You know, I think you get into a little bit of a dilemma there if you're not careful. But, I mean, you know, as far as a human being, from what I understand, you couldn't find a better human being. So, you know, that's a giant positive. And I think that's, you know, everybody on that team and coaches and GMs and everybody involved will rally around that.
My thing would be this. Just personally, is your heart still in it? If you're Mike Fisher, is your heart in it to go for a 17th season, to look yourself in the mirror every day, to wake up and say, hey, I gotta give it up next. I gotta bring it tonight, every night. It's a Tuesday night. They start their season on a Thursday night on the road in Boston. Are you gonna be able to give it your best every night? Do you want to give it your best every night? And I think that's the question Mike's got to determine. Obviously, and once again, I don't count other people's money, and so I don't know what he and Kerry's financial situation is like, but generally speaking, I think it's probably pretty good.
So I would say they're pretty happy.
In terms of that, but once again, I don't count other people's money
because
you don't know like what real estate investments or stock market fiascos, or you just don't know. So I don't know what it is, but like I said, I'm going to assume it's probably pretty good. So it's probably not about money. And it's probably not about playing time or role, because Mike will still play. Even if Mike is the third line center or the fourth line center on the Nashville Predators, he will still have a role on this team. It's not about visibility or popularity, because he will be the captain and he will still be one of the most prominent players in the community. So to me, this all boils down to, and the team wants you and they have a role for you, and the coach and GM clearly want you back. So the question is your heart still in it? And once again, there's nobody that can answer that question except for him. And I wonder, the way that he ended it at the end of that, you know, in the Showtime series or the exclusive behind the scenes with Fisher and tears in that locker room saying, thanks for the memories and I love you guys too. That just sounds like a guy in my mind who has on some level or another thought about moving on. And you just hope that Mike didn't walk out of that locker room and say, you know, that's it.
Well, I don't doubt that he's thought about this.
Oh,
I mean, because he's admitted to that. So it's been a question, something he has to deal with, and I think we all understand that. So I think it's just a matter of, hey, are you going to do it or not? And again, in my mind, if you've decided, if it's over with, why are we wasting time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best thing for the club is to know. Certainly the best thing before this draft would have been able to know. You know, I mean, you're going to help everybody out. Just go ahead and announce it and get it over with. And if you can't announce it, then fine. Take your time.
Don't miss the Nashville Predators Foundation Annual Craft Beer Festival presented by Orca Coolers. That's on Saturday from 3 to 7. General admission is $69 now, and it's $79 on the day of the event. Coming up next, we'll have the latest of the names that are leaking out of the first ever roster for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. We'll get those names that are leaking out, and why has the name for the Predators not leaked out yet? And do we know who that name's going to be and how will it affect him? We'll get to that next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.